Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at the career of Bernardo Bertolucci, a modern-day master of Italian cinema. I hope you enjoy the show. Bernardo Bertolucci was perhaps the most painter-like of all the Italian film directors. His scenes are moving, breathing oil paintings, stunning to perceive and very satisfying to dwell upon. He was born in Parma, Italy in 1941, of an Australian mother and Italian father, who was a poet and film critic. He went to Rome University, and by the age of 20 he was a published poet. His father had helped to get Pier Paolo Pasolini's first novel published, and so, as a thank you, Pasolini employed Bernardo as his assistant director on Acatoni in 1961. It was his first film as a director. It was the moving tale of a pimp in Rome and his destitution following the arrest of his prostitute. It was critically acclaimed and caused a furore when the premiere in Rome was hijacked by a neo-fascist group who attacked the audience and tried to destroy the theatre. This taste of the cinema was enough to convince Bernardo, and he directed his own first feature the following year, La Comare Secca, or The Grim Reaper. It betrayed his innate grasp of cinematography and storytelling, and was the tale of the murder of a call girl and the investigation to find the culprit. This is Claudio Villa singing Addio Addio from the remarkable scene in which the eyewitness is looking for the killer amongst the dancers at a riverside bar.
I miei sorrisi e i tuoi si sono spenti. Noi camminiamo insieme e siamo soli. Ci restano soltanto lunghi silenzi che diventata sale, le nostre labbra inaridite non hanno più parole. Guardami, guardami, lo sai che non è vero. Guardami, guardami, ascoltami. Che noi lo sappiamo,
che ci vogliamo bene, che ci vogliamo bene, e ci lasciamo. Addio, addio, addio.
In 1964 followed Before the Revolution, his take on Stendhal's novel The Charterhouse of Parma, which he used as a rough canvas on which to draw his film about Italian youth and its vision of the future for a unified Italy. Considering he was 22 when he made it, it showed remarkable maturity and borrowed freely from the Italian directors he admired at the time. This is Gino Paoli singing Vivere Ancora.
Vivere ancora soltanto per un'ora e per un'ora averti fra le braccia e far sparire per sempre dal tuo viso ogni incertezza che ti tormenta ancora. Vivere ancora soltanto per un'ora e per un'ora vedere sul tuo viso tutto l'amore che ti ho saputo dare. Vita che ora è solo tua e puoi restare vicini ad occhi aperti ad aspettare che dalla finestra giunga la luce di un giorno che ci veda stretti abbracciati con poter vedere in una stanza buia con gli occhi chiusi quello che vogliamo, poter sentire vicino alla mia mano i tuoi capelli sparsi sul cuscino, sentire che per sempre il mio destino è diventato tuo, è diventato tuo, è diventato tuo.
Next up in 1968 was his take on Dostoevsky's novella The Double, in which he moved the location to Italy from St. Petersburg. It was called Partner and prized an appearance of the delicious Stefania Sandrelli plus a score by Ennio Morricone.
Thank you.
In Partner, we begin to see Bertolucci's large canvases of perfect composition appearing. He was finding his stride, and he perfected it in Il Conformista, his next film in 1970. It's sumptuous, following Jean-Louis Trintignant as a political activist who gets sucked into becoming an assassin. It's a truly beautiful film, and I can honestly say they don't make them like this anymore. It was based on a novel by Alberto Moravia, and here's Trio Lescano with Come l'ombra. The same year he made another masterpiece, The Spider's Stratagem, based on a Borges story about a man's journey back to discover his father's complicity in the country's struggle against fascism. Watching this film is like sitting down to an amazing banquet. It's a visual feast, masterminded with plot, music and characters, creating a world of subtlety and human foibles.
Del mio cuore l'intero non c'è, no, meglio d'uno che ad altra beltà. La costoro a me senza e qual d'oro, di che il fato si fiera la vita.
That was Verdi's Rigoletto from The Spider's Stratagem. The infamous Last Tango in Paris came next in 1972, starring Marlon Brando and Maria Schneider in an intense sexual relationship in Paris. The film caused a sensation around the world and was banned in Italy until 1987. Bertolucci, together with the producer and both stars, was indicted in a Bologna court, charged with ultralitarian pornography, but they were all acquitted, although Bertolucci lost his civil rights for 5 years. Gatto Barbieri provided a sultry score, and here's part of it.
Thank you.
Bertolucci spent a long time on his next film, 1900, an epic story of class struggle in Italy in the first half of the 20th century. Gerard Depardieu and Robert De Niro star as two childhood friends from different stock, and Donald Sutherland does an amazing job as the evil fascist Attila Melanchini. It's the most accessible of Bertolucci's films and is thoroughly entertaining. It was originally over 5 hours long, but Bertolucci, under pressure from the producers, cut it down to 3.5 hours. It was the most expensive Italian movie ever made. Ennio Morricone provided a beautiful score. In 1979, he made the film La Luna, which was a family affair in more ways than one. He collaborated with four members of his family on the film, but it was also the story of an incestuous relationship between a mother and her son, played by Jill Clayburgh and Matthew Barry. Here's the Bee Gees with Night Fever. In 1981, he made Tragedy of a Ridiculous Man, starring Ugo Tognazzi and Anouk Aimée. It was unfamiliar territory for Bertolucci, being a comedy drama. Here's the Boppers playing Rock and Roll is Good for the Soul.
Rock and roll is good for the soul. Rock and roll is good for the soul.
He hit the heights in 1987 with The Last Emperor, which won no less than 9 Oscars. It was a groundbreaking film, being the first to be made in and about China since 1949, and the first to be filmed in the Forbidden City. It cost a staggering $25 million, and 19,000 extras were employed. It tells the story of Pu Yi, the child emperor, who recalls his life from prison as a war criminal. Ryuichi Sakamoto's score gained one of the 9 Oscars. By now, the whole world knew about Bernardo Bertolucci. He followed The Last Emperor with 2 more Eastern-themed movies. One was The Sheltering Sky in 1990, based on the book by Paul Bowles, and the other was Little Buddha in 1993. Both films, like The Last Emperor, involved Mark Peplow in the screenplay and Vittorio Storaro as cinematographer. Ryuichi Sakamoto again provided the scores. After this trilogy, he returned to work in Italy at the age of 55 and made 4 more films there. Stealing Beauty in 1996 featured a young Liv Tyler with Jeremy Irons, Besieged in 1998 with Tandy Newton, The Dreamers in 2003 with Eva Green, and Me and You in 2012. This is Jimi Hendrix with Third Stone from the Sun from The Dreamers.
All right.
It's interesting to note that although he was fascinated by America and American films when he was young, Bertolucci never made a film in America. He said, "My generation had an affair with American culture. There's no doubt about it. A street lamp and a fire hydrant made me sing in the rain." Perhaps he was wary of Hollywood, saying, "Very often the filmmaker will not receive money if he doesn't make the kind of film the Hollywood studios want." Probably he was afraid to be subjected to the scrutiny of the studios, and I quote, "In Hollywood there used to be a sort of miracle of harmony, harmony between the people writing the story, the director, the cast, the set designer, and the grace of some of the Hollywood movies became inevitable, something within that system that made it all work. But today the production system has lost that grace." It was fortunate that he was able to make his films independently and thus wasn't ever forced to compromise what he wanted to achieve. His was a rare talent, and he was lucky to find success without pandering to the opinions of others or accepted standards. As he said, "With each of my movies, every time is the first time, which means taking risks." He died of lung cancer in Rome at the age of 77. I'll leave you with "Sing for Absolution" by Muse from Me and You.